Welcome to Camp 20. For the next 2 hours, you are going to be immersed in the frenzied movement toward freedom. And one of the big ways we can do that and take control of our little world is by planting our own food and gaining some autonomy in the local community. Our guest today is going to be David Bloom, the author of Alcohol Can Be a Gas, and he's known as Farmer Bloom or Farmer Dave, and has an amazing background in urban agriculture and training people how to raise their own food. This is Jenny Hodges. My co-host is Jerry DeMars. And we are so excited to be able to bring this program to you today, and you guys are going to love it. I don't know about you, but here in Austin, Texas, spring is in the air, and I've been enthusiastically planting my garden. We are actually in a rental house, and so we are going to be doing a lot of bins in Rubbermaid containers, and I decided I would use a couple of plastic baby pools with holes drilled in the bottom to do some quote-unquote raised beds for lettuces and Swiss chard and stuff. So I'm pretty excited. Today I got all my little heirloom seeds out, and I'm going to be planting those in some 3-ounce Dixie cups and getting things going. The boys, I have 6 children, and the boys are just so excited about planting season. We've decided that we're going to get some earthworms and start a little earthworm farm and do some other fun things around the house. So it's going to be a great spring. You know, yesterday we had some very interesting conversation, and Emma Goldman, I read a article that she had published in 1908. I was noticing that Dave Bloom on one of his sites, he ends his little bio with an Emma Goldman quote, which I thought was just cool. And her quote was, "If I can't dance, I don't want to be in your revolution." Hilarious quote. But we were talking about the right of the individual life and liberty, the paganism, really, of patriotism in terms of military might and military expansion. But one of the things that Jerry had thrown out there for you guys in the beginning of the show was, what are you doing to prepare? And of course, revolution is spreading, revolution's in the air, the currency is very unstable, food shortages are being projected for the coming months. So what are you doing to prepare? And I'll tell you, for me, preparing means buckets of wheat berries, plenty of seeds that I sprout in our kitchen, and planting a garden, and so on and so forth. So we're going to have our guests come on at 10:30 Central Time today. But until then, it would be interesting to hear from some of you as to how you're preparing, especially if you're in urban locations with limited resources and limited space. Hey, Jerry. I got to do the opening today without you. But I was wondering if you were going to join us. So Jerry's going to be with us in just a few minutes. Moving right along. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, babe. Sorry about that. I was unavoidably detained.
You should have heard me open the show today. I almost sounded professional.
Wow. I may have to go back and listen to you in the archives.
I was talking about how we're having Farmer Dave on today, and also what the Hodges...
We're having who on?
Didn't you know he goes by Farmer Dave?
No, I didn't.
Ah, I have a scoop you don't have.
You did, didn't you?
Sweet.
Okay. I didn't know that. Even his secretary person didn't tell me that. I feel really let down.
Hey, and Jerry, this is the other cool thing. On his bio that I pulled up, he has an Emma Goldman quote.
Cool.
Yeah.
He might be one of us.
I think he's one
although,
of us, Jerry.
I guess we should point out, and we're undoubtedly going to ruffle a few feathers, because there are some viewpoints that Mr. Bloom holds that are a little bit out of sync with some of the things that we might think. But we'll get to that when we come back. We'll be in hit-and-run news mode when we do.
Are you... Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Yeah. I really do, because it's starting to grow a little. Comrades, the full team is here. The dugout is full.
Yes, Jerry, I'm so much happier when we're together on air.
Well, I was telling Jenny during the break that my little business here, my little mom and pop enterprise, we've had more work come in, I guess, about the last week, 10 days, than I have literally seen in the previous 3 months. Now, I've told a lot of people before that we typically work on the deluge system here. It'll just come in, wham, and we'll be like one-arm paper hangers for about a week, maybe 10 days, and then it just dies again. And I told my wife, Elaine, I said, I'm very, very fearful of this. I said, even though things are really robust right this minute, and you almost think about putting stuff back on the shelves, in other words, adding to inventory, I'm still very, very leery. Now, I told you some stuff yesterday about Golden Star Resources and SLW, and I wanted to tell you one thing that I learned last night late, and it pertains to Golden Star Resources. BlackRock, that investment outfit, filed a Title 13 document with the Security and Exchange Commission revealing that they have bought enough shares of Golden Star Resources and now own 5.6% of all the outstanding shares. Somebody might think that there's something going on there. I kind of wonder about that myself, but, you know, like I told you yesterday, caveat emptor, do your own due diligence. All right, Denny, as you know, Arkansas has been the site of a number of earthquakes recently, and although there is no empirical evidence to prove the connection, at least beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's a growing consensus that the use of fracking there, you know, they're doing that to increase the amount of natural gas that they're able to suck up out of the ground in that region, may play a part in the geological rodeo that's been ongoing there for some weeks now. In response, two major players in the natural gas extraction business, one of them being Chesapeake Operating Inc. and Clarita Operating LLC, said before a hearing last Friday in Little Rock in front of the State Oil and Gas Commission that they will comply with an emergency request to stop injections of used natural gas drilling fluid in the two wells that they use in Faulkner County. Now, remember Faulkner County because it's important. The drillers made an announcement in a pre-meeting notice, but still, that commission voted 8-0 to approve an emergency order forcing those two companies to cease operations at those two injection wells. Commission staff suspects that those wells may be linked to an outbreak of hundreds of small earthquakes in the Faulkner County area. Commission Director Lawrence Bengal said both companies agreed ahead of the hearing to cease operations until the next commission meeting, which is scheduled for March 29th. He said evidence will be presented at that meeting from the staff of the commission, who believe that there is a possible correlation, as well as the drilling companies, who argue that no correlation exists. Bengal said that the meeting that he had requested, the emergency order, because data received from the drilling companies suggested there may be a link between injection operations and the ongoing seismic activity in the area. We may never be able to make a definitive determination, he said, but the indications are it's a possibility. So we felt it prudent to ask these wells to be shut down to prevent the potential for future earthquakes. It will take an undetermined amount of time for the ground in the area to equalize its pressure, Bengal said. That means there could still be some seismic activity even after the injection operations have been halted. And it won't necessarily disprove the correlation. The drilling companies were scheduled to cease work at the two sites last Friday morning. In agreeing to do so, the companies, of course, did not admit any sort of culpability. There was no testimony at that short hearing. Several opponents of natural gas drilling attended the meeting, including one woman who loudly confronted an official with Chesapeake Operating as he walked out of the room. Now, these earthquakes, mostly centered between Greenbrier and Guy, Arkansas, and they number about 800 in 800 events since last September. The strongest of them was a 4.7 magnitude quake felt just this past Sunday night throughout Arkansas and even in neighboring states. And while we're talking about Arkansas, I went to Google Maps last night to find out where these points of interest are. And I'm talking about the towns of Greenbrier and Guy. Those are the scenes of the major earthquake activity and their proximity to another location that was in the news back in early January. And I'm talking about Beebe, Arkansas, where all those dead birds turned up. There may, in fact, be a correlation. Using Little Rock as the center of the clock, and kind of draw a mental picture of this, if you would, Greenbrier is almost at the 12 o'clock position at approximately 45 to 50 miles north of Little Rock. Guy is at about 12:05 on that same clock and lies about 15 miles further north of Greenbrier. Beebe sits at about the 2 o'clock position and is approximately 35 to 40 miles northeast of Little Rock. Now, as previously stated, both Guy and Greenbrier are in Faulkner County. White County, where the town of Beebe is situated, lies immediately to the east. Coincidence? You be the judge. Back to you, Derek.
Wow, that's really interesting stuff, Jerry. I love the stories you bring. Okay, well, Japan, this always really gets me, but Japan has halted vaccines from Pfizer and Sanofi after the deaths of four children. Now, last year, Australia temporarily banned flu vaccines in children after they were found to have caused vomiting, fevers, seizures, you know, nothing major. Well, there is major vaccine damage emerging in Japan, where the health ministry has suspended the use of vaccines from Pfizer and Sanofi Avantis following the deaths of four children there who died within minutes after receiving their vaccine shots. All four children received combination vaccines where multiple shots are combined into one high-potency injection. MMR is another example of a combination vaccine that combines vaccines for measles, mumps, and rubella. And it's 100 times more dangerous than just getting measles, mumps, and rubella. Now, I think as we watch this unfold, Jerry, what's going to happen in Japan is that a group of vaccine safety experts will now meet, discuss the vaccines. Major members of the group will be paid off by those pharmaceutical companies. And in a day or two, a statement will be issued that says there is no causal relationship between vaccines and child deaths. And then the vaccine program will continue as usual. And the ongoing deaths of children will be ignored or explained away as mere coincidence, which is what happens in America. And the number of children who have autism within hours or days of receiving some of these combination vaccines is appalling in America. I think the autism rate is now greater than one in 166 children, whereas the autism rate in non-vaccinated children is better than one in every 250,000 children. This is a huge gulf between those extremes. So for anybody out there, especially if you're in a church where people will listen to you on any level, strongly urge them, do not vaccinate. But if they're going to vaccinate, do not use vaccines from harvested aborted fetal tissue cell lines. And second of all, don't give combination vaccines. It is so much more dangerous than the still very dangerous individually dosed vaccines. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on our second break of the day, yes, and I've got a couple of little filler pieces, almost like very, very small jigsaw puzzle pieces to kind of slide in here, dear. And the other one, and the first one I think is kind of interesting. It's not necessarily newsworthy, but you be the judge. A single glass of red wine may be as effective at controlling blood sugar as standard diabetes drugs, according to a study conducted by researchers from the University of Natural Resources and Applied Life Sciences in Vienna, Austria. Previous research has shown that red wine, easy for me to say, grape skins, and red grape juice are high in plant chemicals called polyphenols. These antioxidants have been shown to help the body regulate blood sugar and thereby help prevent or control diabetes. In the current study, researchers studied the action of grape polyphenols on a cell receptor called PPAR-gamma, which plays an important role in blood sugar regulation, energy storage, and fat storage. They found that even a small glass of wine has enough polyphenols to activate the receptor at least as effectively as the diabetes drug Avandia. The researchers also compared the polyphenol content of 12 different wines, confirming the popular wisdom that concentrations are higher in red wine. Researchers said that this is further scientific evidence that a small amount of wine is actually beneficial for your health. They cautioned, however, that wine can be high in calories and that moderate consumption is the key. Our big problem is to convey the message of a healthy lifestyle, because too much wine will cause diabetes and obesity, the researcher said. Moderate wine consumption is a characteristic of the Mediterranean diet, which has been shown to improve lifespan and reduce the risk of chronic disease. We're going to cut away to a break, and when we come back, I've got something I want to talk to you on.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Right into this piece, so because we've got Mr. David Bloom, going to come on board here at the bottom half of the first hour, and this is something that I've actually had and been wanting to bring to you for a couple of days. So it's got a little hair on it, and I'm going to try to shave it as we go. Okay. A month ago, the state of Virginia established a subcommittee to study alternatives in the case of a terminal Fed breakdown and would propose gold as a sound alternative to the existing fiat currency. South Carolina is exploring that same possibility. But now the state of Utah has done everybody one step better and has actually, at least insofar as their House section of their legislature is concerned, they have voted and passed a bill that would recognize gold and silver coins, those issued by the federal government, as legal currency. Now, you might be asking yourself why coins created by the federal government that are designated in dollar denominations would require state recognition of their legitimacy. I find that actually kind of troubling. And the measure did not determine or hasn't determined to this point on what basis the state would take that coinage, whether it's going to be at the specified value on the coin. So an ounce of gold would only be worth $50 as far as the state would be concerned. And as a result, they would never see any of that money. Or if they're going to take them at some value that is relative to maybe spot or something along those lines. That hasn't been determined yet. undoubtedly, in any event, this still will send a remarkably sharp, piercing noise through the ears of all those people sitting in the Mariner Eccles building, and that's the home of the Federal Reserve Bank in Washington, D.C., that Americans, quite frankly, are fed up with the Fed's dollar debasement. The coins would not replace current paper currency, we're told, and this is the situation back in Utah, but would be used and accepted voluntarily as an alternative. And this is actually how the legislation reads. The legislation, which began with 12 co-sponsors, would let Utahans pay their taxes with gold and also calls for a committee to study alternative currencies for the state. It would also exempt the sale of gold from the state capital gains tax. The bill cleared the state legislative committee, of course, and has also cleared the House. And it would also, and now it's over at their Senate, and would have to clear that hurdle, and then it would have to get the governor's signature once it got that far. So it's interesting that these developments are coming about, but there's too many questions yet as to whether or not this is meaningful legislation. But it is exciting. At least it's exciting to me, and I hope it is for you. Attorney and Tea Party activist Larry Hilton, author of that original bill, said he doesn't foresee any major roadblocks. And he said, well, we shall see about that. But in the meantime, it's worth highlighting that the onslaught against the dollar is coming not only from China, which, as we've talked about here on Freedom Frenzy several times, is pushing to convert the renminbi to the global reserve currency, and I think that's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen probably in the next year to 18 months. We're that close, folks. We really are. And we're starting to see some of the other signs of deterioration in as far as the acceptability of the American dollar. Now, I want you to realize that not having read any of these proposed measures, and I'm talking about Virginia, the South Carolina concepts that are being discussed, nor the full measures that have been passed by the state of Utah's legislature, it seems, though, that there's enough inertia to make it through all the way to the governor's desk. And I, like I said, we're uncertain as to what their intent is insofar as those, the method of payment regarding American specie coins. But what we have here, and I think you need to be considering, is we have a serious constitutional battle ahead as here a value-based money is reasserting itself. Remember, there was a federal tax case about 2 years ago wherein the court said that the employer paying his people with specie coins was only paying them at the face value designated thereon. So if he gave somebody a coin like a double eagle that would cost you somewhere between $1,400 and $1,500 to procure today, and the court said it's only a $50 payment, then we've opened up Pandora's box insofar as the entire taxation scheme. And who's to know, who can guess where this is going to go? As an aside, Jenny, I sent some information about the Virginia measure over to our friend Bobby Franklin, who's a state House representative here in Georgia. Bobby seemed, quite frankly, entirely disinterested with the bill, saying that it was in controversy with Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. I have at least two problems with that. One, the bill doesn't specifically state the purpose of the coinage is to be money. The state could easily be entering into the same business as other entities that are minting coins of specific weights and with no monetary designation on them. They could call them medallions and even add some revenue to the state coffers by selling the things at a slight premium over cost. People would buy them for any number of reasons, including that of perceived purity, which allows the product of the United States Mint to command the premium that it does. We're going to be right back, folks. We're going to hopefully have our guest on board here when we do. And, excuse me?
Dave is here.
Cool. So we'll kick that off when we get back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, comrades, here we are again, and our guest for the day is Mr. David Blum, author of the book Alcohol Can Be a Gas. And David, thank you for being with us on Freedom Frenzy today.
I'm happy to be here.
I imagine, David, that we will soon realize that we won't have adequate time to address all the issues that actually deserve your attention today, and we'll need to have you back on sometime in the future. But by way of introduction, Dave, would you mind telling our audience a little bit about yourself and your goals?
Well, sure. The book Alcohol Can Be a Gas is the result of many years of research and work basically is the premises that alcohol, plain old moonshine basically, but at a very high purity, was the original auto fuel before gasoline was ever invented, and that lost history of our vehicles running on alcohol is something we need to recover and we need to implement today, because what we're saying is that as long as you have to get your energy from someone else, you're not free. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of making your own fuel is to be able to withdraw from the corporate, you know, oil machine that calls a lot of shots in this world. And so it is not that difficult for you to make 192-proof alcohol to run your car, your generator, light your home, do your refrigeration, even generate electricity.
I agree. And I've done some studying on your website, and it's actually caused me to entertain the idea that my wife and I could potentially become alcohol producers. And let me back up here just a minute. I wanted you to know, David, that I felt one of your most powerful arguments for alcohol as an energy source was the amount of money spent, lives lost, and the energy that we've wasted. And I'm talking in particular here about the American Empire, as well as others, securing an ongoing supply of petroleum situated abroad in often hostile environments. And I think you pointed out in one of your videos that if we had steered the resources that we had squandered in that effort back toward converting the American economy over to alcohol, that we would be way, way, way down the road toward that goal.
Well, actually, it's even more so than that. You know, if you take a look at the involvement in Iraq, which I think most Americans at this point would like to end and get our boys and girls home, you know, we look at spending more than $1 trillion there in actually pursuing that campaign, but we probably have $11 trillion that we'll be paying over time.
Mm-hmm.
For all the people who've been maimed and injured, you know, in Iraq, that we need to take care of for the rest of our lives because of their service to this country. So, you know, this is an enormously expensive operation, and yet, if we only spent a fraction of that money, you know, half $1 trillion, we would have actually replaced not just all the oil in the United States, but we could have actually replaced all the oil being used for fuel in the entire world, because making alcohol, the equipment to do so, is pretty inexpensive. We're looking at roughly $1 per gallon of annual capacity. So if you want 1 million gallon per year plant, well, it costs about $1 million to build. Well, we only use 500 billion gallons of fuel in the whole world every year. So $500 billion would be enough to build alcohol plants everywhere, that every country would be energy self-sufficient. And without that conflict over that resource, well, you know, what will we be fighting over? I'm not so sure. There's mm-hmm. much left to fight over if you've got all the energy you need. But see, unlike oil, alcohol is producible forever. In other words, the way we make alcohol is from solar energy. Plants suck up solar energy and they mix it with carbon dioxide and water. You know, this is photosynthesis, what every plant does. And what it makes is sugar. So every plant makes gobs of sugar, and then the plant takes that sugar and makes it into, say, fiber to, you know, for the plant to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But also, sugar is all throughout the plant in terms of, say, its seed or its sap or, you know, like sugarcane, it's just loaded with sugar on the inside. And corn, of course, is loaded with starch, which is nothing more than a lot of sugar linked together. And that carbohydrate, that sugar, we can make into alcohol. So as long as we have carbon dioxide and water, which, you know, carbon dioxide and water is what all of us are breathing out, and we have sunlight, we will have alcohol. So, you know, when the sun burns out in 4.5 billion years, we'll run out of alcohol. But then we've got other problems at that point.
Well, David, I got the impression, reading some of the materials on your website, that you promote or your advocacy of alcohol production seems to favor individuals or small cooperatives producing the alcohol for fuel, as opposed to the large corporate operations like those now consuming 25% of the country's corn crop, which in turn have been driving up food costs, in addition to using immense quantities of water. As your
Okay. Now, well, it's really hard to separate fact from American Petroleum Institute propaganda. So let's take that, you know, that's the key. One of the key problems with getting off of oil is the avalanche of propaganda against it. So I'll answer your question about scale in just a moment, but let's take this central issue of 25% of our corn is now consumed to make alcohol. Now, everybody hears those words and thinks, wow, alcohol, our corn goes into the alcohol plant and it's destroyed in the process of making the fuel. But you just heard me say what we make alcohol from, which is sugars or starches.
Mm-hmm.
So when the corn goes into the alcohol plant, all we take out of that corn is the starch. That means all the protein, the fat, the nutrients are all still there, and we have not removed those. Those are still there in the mash. Now, in the United States, 90% of our corn is fed to livestock. So the interesting thing about that is our livestock can't generally digest starch. If you give starch to a cow, it basically goes through undigested. So that's why you, when you feed a cow 10 pounds of corn, you only get 1 pound of meat. But let's say we send that corn first through an alcohol plant. We take out the starch, the part that cows can't digest, and we make something useful from it, alcohol. Then we feed the mash that's left over, which is called distiller's grains. They actually gain more weight than if you would have fed them the original corn, because the original corn starch is not in the way of their digestion. So unlike the propaganda that says 25% of the crop is destroyed making alcohol, what we're doing is, in essence, taking the starch out before it becomes cow manure. So we get the food, just as much meat or milk as we had before, and actually a little more, and we get the alcohol, and we have a whole lot less pollution. So it's really, you know, the way this kind of propaganda has been working is you can lie by telling the truth. You can say, yes, 25% of our corn crop is going into those alcohol plants.
Well, David, that was my understanding.
You're not telling the whole story.
But it was my understanding that that 25% was the net product reduced from the available corn supply as a result of the process, and that actually incorporated the use of the byproduct of the production of alcohol, the feed that they in turn sent to people that wanted to buy it. Because prior to that operation, the net reduction of corn available was like 34-35%, and then when they added back the impact that you so adequately described of feeding the cattle, in particular with the byproduct of the corn, of the alcohol production process, the net impact was 25% reduction in the available corn supply.
Well, that's not correct. And in fact, the United States over the last few years has had the biggest corn crops on record, and we have had, on average, a surplus of 2 billion bushels a year, every year for the last few years. Mm-hmm. Now, that gets to the point you brought up about price of food. How can the making of alcohol increase the price of food when we know that 90% of corn is grown for cattle, and it still feeds the cattle, and we have a surplus of raw corn that neither the alcohol producers or the food producers purchased? Anywhere
do we still have that surplus,
in my
David?
Book, it says prices go down, and yet they don't. The price of food is going up. Guess what? The price of food has to do with the price of oil. Because let's say you take a box of Frosted Flakes. So you go ahead and grow that corn. Well, now you're using, you know, chemical fertilizer made from oil. And so that price goes up with oil, and so now the price of corn goes up. You got to transport it to the mill. Well, that's done on fossil fuel diesel trucks. The mill is running on fossil fueled electricity to run its operation. It uses heat from natural gas or coal to cook the corn. And then they have to package the corn in a plastic bag. Then they put that in a box that where the wood was pulped by, you know, fossil fuels to make that cardboard. And oil-based inks are being used on the box to go ahead and sell those cornflakes to you. And then it's got to be transported by truck using oil to your store. So now you're looking at a $4 box of cereal. The amount of corn that's in it is only about 5 cents. The rest of it is energy and profit. So when the price of cornflake goes up 50%, it's really easy for General Mills to say, look, alcohol caused the price of corn to go up, and that's why we're charging you more. It's not the case at all. You know, even if alcohol doubled in price, it could only raise the price of cornflakes about a nickel. So, again, alcohol is a convenient place to place the blame for corporate misdoing.
Well, do we still have a surplus of corn available?
Absolutely. We're this year, instead of 2 billion bushels, we're likely to have only 1.7 billion bushels. And for those of you who don't know, a bushel is 56 pounds of corn. It's like a big sack of corn. So, yes, America's producing it. Now, here we are producing way more corn than we used to, so we have alcohol. Because, you know, the amount of corn is not fixed. We used to produce 70 million acres. Now we produce 90 million. But we haven't really increased our supply of cows. So what's happening to the byproduct from alcohol fuel? Other countries are buying it and using it to feed their cattle because we have such a surplus of cattle feed here, we can't use it all in America. So the whole argument of food versus fuel is basically a whole load of hooey so that the producers of food and the guys who produce oil can blame someone else for higher prices in the supermarket. And everyone who's studied this agrees that this is the case.
In one of the videos of yours that I watched, David, you mentioned that corn wasn't particularly well suited to alcohol production, but that it had indeed been chosen because America had a surplus of corn.
That's
owing right. Owing to that, I'm not going to argue with you about the surplus thing. You may have adequate information and I don't. But I would appreciate it if you would tell us what particular agricultural products are better suited to the production of alcohol, and perhaps, and you might want to do that with a with an eye to raising them on what we would call marginal lands. And then lastly, as kind of a composite question here, are you aware of any research that has explored the applicability of possibly using hemp as a source for alcohol production?
Okay, I can handle all that for you. So basically, the best crop for making alcohol, there is no one best crop. You want to grow what does best in your climate and area. So, for instance, if you're down in Arizona, your best crop might be the tequila cactus, you know, the agave.
Mm-hmm.
That produces 6,000 gallons of alcohol per acre. Corn only produces 250 gallons per acre. And down in Arizona, you'd have to irrigate the heck out of it to grow. So corn wouldn't be the best in Arizona. Agave might be. But, you know, we grow, I was telling you, about 70 to 90 million acres of corn a year. But across the Southwest, there's a tree that grows there called mesquite. A lot of us know mesquite because, you know, we make charcoal out of it for our, our barbecuing. This tree is nitrogen fixing, means it doesn't need any fertilizer. It has roots that can go down 80 feet to get water, so it doesn't need irrigation. And it has these sugary pods, look like great big bean pods. And they would actually, if we just harvested those pods, we would get 341 gallons per acre. So, you know, much more than corn's 250. But here's the kicker. We have 70 or so million acres of corn. We have 72 million acres of mesquite already growing across the Southwest. And we have a whole lot of people from Mexico who would love to work picking those. So, you know, I mean, they're right there near the mesquite. So, you know, here we've got a crop right there. And the byproduct is high-protein bean mash that we can feed to cattle. So the what's the best crop? It goes on and on. When I just came back from Nicaragua, which is a Central American country, and they want to get off of oil. And we're talking about using plain old cattails, you know, the thing you see growing in the ditch or next to the lake that has a looks like a stick with a hot dog on top. And that that marsh plant, you know, is obviously growing where it's not farmable. It's too wet, you know. But that crop is one of the best crops on land in terms of yield per acre. We can get thousands of gallons per acre from cattails because cattails turn all that sunlight into starch, and the whole bottom of the cattail plant, which is sometimes 3, 4, or 5 inches in diameter, is more than half starch, just like corn. So so we can harvest that and use it to make alcohol in huge quantities. And if we did that using cattails to treat the sewage of all of our cities, which is currently done, we have 500 cattail sewage treatment plants around the United States. If we harvested those and made alcohol from them, just from us, just from our sewage being the only input for that, we would end up with less than 2% of the ag land in the United States replacing all, I mean every bit, of our diesel and gasoline. So with only 2% of our land, we could produce everything we need, and we'd clean up our sewage, you know, before the water gets dumped into the Mississippi or into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
the government will never go for that. That's way too efficient.
I know. It's so smart, you know, and that's why it's going to get done by China first before we ever do it. So.
Those pesky Chinese. I think we're coming up on a break here, David. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about the availability of stills and what you might suggest to the average person do to get started in producing alcohol for themselves. Hang loose, folks. We'll be right back.
Have you heard? Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to Freedom Frenzy. Today we have David Blum on with us, who is the author of Alcohol Can Be a Gas, and he has a tremendous background. Your bio is so impressive, David, and I was thrilled when I went down to the bottom of it and read your Emma Goldman quote, if I can't dance, I don't want to be in your revolution. We're such kindred spirits. Yesterday we were talking about Emma Goldman. Your website is permaculture.com. And for our listeners, can you define permaculture?
Well, sure. It's the kind of the art and science of designing human habitation. So, you know, it's making sure that when we design where we live, we provide all of our energy and our food and water and everything else we need locally, even down to the unit of the individual, you know, household. So, you know, for instance, I just came back from the Amazon, and I was teaching permaculture and alcohol fuel way back in the jungle to a bunch of Peruvian farmers who, you know, and these are honest-to-God, hardworking farmers, you know, that are growing all kind of crops back there that they bring out to market. And, you know, when you look at how they're growing stuff, it would match a pretty good permaculture design. So instead of acres and acres of corn out in the open, you know, what they had, for instance, is some crops that were, you know, trees that were growing over the top, like banana. And then below the bananas, they had these berry fruit-type trees below that. And below those, they had shrubs that had, really nice peppers, you know, hot peppers. And below those, they had greens, you know, vegetables. So they had multiple levels of food growing in their forest, and that meant they were getting like four crops from the same acreage. So that's farming like nature. In other words, nature's forest would look like that, but what these guys were doing were substituting different good human crops in the same places you'd find some natural plant. And so it's like using nature as a guide to make good farming and good money.
And vertical farming. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, so surpluses, right? Here we are in the Amazon, and they're saying, well, we don't have any extra corn here to make alcohol. How are we going to make alcohol to sell to the city people and the Iquitos down there for their motorcycles? And, you know, I said, well, it's really simple. Look at what crop you're not getting any money for now. We go, well, that's bananas. We got bananas coming out of our ears because, you know, it's the surplus. I said, okay, so we make banana alcohol, you know, and you hold some bananas off the market, and you keep the price stable, and the farmers have a stable living, and then we take the banana mash left over after we make the alcohol, and we make some methane with that, and, you know, natural gas, and we can run our generators with that, so that saves money. And, you know, in talking with these guys, it turns out that money is actually fuel on the Amazon. It's like nobody takes paper money because, heck, that stuff isn't worth anything and it's probably counterfeit. They'll take coins maybe, but, you know, the only thing they buy with coins really is fuel. So if you've got fuel, it is currency on the Amazon. And in peak oil times, quite frankly, fuel is money. So
wow.
Making alcohol there for their boats and generators was key.
Well, we're going to have to cut away to a break, David. I love the way you tailor things to different civilizations and different peoples. It's just fabulous. This is Freedom Frenzy. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.